The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Three-pointer from Harden is up, and the Lakers can take a victory lap now. Up 10, and about to go up 2-1 in this best-of-seven Western Conference semifinals. It's a milestone for LeBron James as well. His 162nd playoff win. That is the most in NBA history. And LeBron James and the Lakers are going to win game three. LeBron goes for 36, Davis 26 points. They combine for 62 tonight.
I think it's pretty obvious we just ran out of a little steam there. We just didn't make real plays that we did. But it's good to have Russell back in the sense that he played really well. You know, we'll give it a good shot day after tomorrow. We'll get our rest, and it's 2-1. It's not a – it's okay, they got this one. Let's get the next one. Then let's go on the next one. So it's a marathon, long battle.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and you hope it's a long battle. I guess we'll find that out. But, hey, look at the bright side. Football tomorrow night. Dan Carbach. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And on 92.5. The Blitz is freaking on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Aaron Rabold, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, you know the number for that. And you can watch us on the Twitch channel. Just get on there, comment as you wish. And, you know, it's a fun way to get involved in the show. And no matter how you do it, whether you tweet or Facebook or Twitter or Twitch, it's Wednesday. What are the odds Wednesday? Put odds on it. What are the odds that this is going to be an awesome week of football?
There's going to be football, which is awesome.
Oh, that's good enough. I'm not asking about the game's going to be awesome.
I was going to say, because let's face it, the quality of the first week of college games, no one would call it awesome.
No.
It was really, really, really bad.
It
but
was
it was
awesome
football.
To have it.
It was nice to have, yes.
Yeah. But, no, I think it's going to be, well, I mean, pretty good matchup for your Texans right off the bat to get the Super Bowl champs. So.
Is it a good matchup?
I think it is. They're going to put up some points. They're going to lose. It'll probably be 45-35, but I like offense. I like excitement.
I
make it 48-35. I just want to make sure that my 9.5 is nice and safe there.
I want to say, remember back to that game, and the Texans' offense was not good in that game. They even the points that they scored early, it wasn't because of their offense. Any numbers the offense put up in that game, it was all garbage.
They
time.
Had one big play early.
Yeah,
on offense.
And then they scored then on an interception. Yeah. They scored on a blocked punt. I mean, it was they built that lead despite having okay offense. Like the first, there was a big play. I think it was the first score they scored on a big play. And then they scored two touchdowns that were kind of, I don't want to say gimmicky or fluky. But because well, that's football, but it wasn't offensive touchdowns.
Right.
And if you go back and watch that game again, which I don't recommend.
Yeah, not unless you're a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, but yeah,
if you
go
get
back
that
and
Chiefs
watch
DVD of all their games of the season, you can watch it. That's cool.
But you'll realize that it wasn't as good of a game for the Texans as we're trying to remember it being.
And, did I say it was a good game?
No, but I mean, when we talk about the offense, I mean, maybe the Chiefs score 51 again, but do you the Texans scored 21 points in the first quarter. 14 of those were basically created by special teams or defense. And in the entire rest of the game, they scored 10 points. Shut down. So I don't want to say it's maybe fool's gold that the Texans can even score on this team, but it might be.
I think they'll be fine. And it's a totally different situation now. And especially, who knows what these defenses are going to look like, considering they haven't had a chance to tackle. This is one of the reasons why I'm very concerned about making a lot of wagers here this opening weekend, because I do think some teams are going to be better prepared than others. I don't know if the Chiefs spent the entire offseason partying and getting married and doing stupid stuff like that, and you know, maybe the focus isn't there, but if it is, but this isn't Madden where the teams are the exact same. I mean, it's going to be different. I know the Chiefs are good. I know they're a Super Bowl contender. And I don't know what the Texans are.
Also, the guy who had 9 receptions for 118 yards won't be there.
A lot of that in garbage time too, though. So, you know, somebody will get garbage time receptions if that's what happens. But I think
you know who will be there? Travis Kelce, who is almost, well, I don't want to say single-handedly responsible, but it kind of felt like he was single-handedly responsible for just destroying any hope that the Texans had in that game. Because I think he scored all 3 of those touchdowns to finish the half and give them the lead. So I don't know. I don't know that the answers are there for the Texans. I don't know if this game's going to be as good as we think. The more and more I haven't made a bet on it. The more and more I think about it, though, the more and more I think Chiefs minus 9 isn't.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if you're going to play it, that's the way to go. I'm not sure enough about what I'm going to see out of either of these teams. Usually, and that's the other part of it. I have a pretty good feel for the Texans most years after going to a few practices. You can kind of tell, boy, these guys are going to be better than people think, which has happened once, and they were. Or, man, this is going to be a problem. This team's not that good this year. And you know, they're really lacking in this position, in this position. So I don't know what that secondary is going to look like. If it looks exactly the same as it did last year, they're going to get torched. And it's the same guys now, isn't
it? Well, minus Gerrion Conley. Who's now hurt. After just looking abysmal in preseason, apparently, he's now got an injury.
Well, there was no real preseason, so practice. But
oh, yeah.
But I think the only thing you can kind of hang your hat on is maybe Lonnie Johnson improves in his second year. Justin Reed was hurt a lot last year. Maybe he's healthy, plays better. You know, maybe you get better safety play. That's what you're hoping for. But
maybe Patrick Mahomes decides to sit out the game like the basketball players did.
Or he limps around like he did in the game the Texans beat him.
Yeah, that can happen.
That's a possibility. He could step in a hole.
I don't feel good about those possibilities. I'm just throwing that out there.
But I also I don't know. I mean, the reason why I would take the Chiefs and give the points is I have a better feeling that they're going to show up ready to play than the Texans are. But the Texans also showed up ready to play on opening night last year against the Saints, and nobody thought they had a chance. So, I'm kind of excited to see. And I'll tell you what's going to happen, and I'll just lay this out there right now, because you guys can bring this up on Friday. About midway through the second quarter is probably when I'm giving up on the season. Because you know what's going to happen. They're going to come out and they're going to do all the same things that they always do. And O'Brien's going to make the same moves that he always makes. And I'm just going to be, you know what? I give up.
I just wanted to go back and make sure. And I was right. That game against the Saints, 8 receptions, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns for the best player on the Texans last year.
Dude's gone. You got to let it go. I mean, you got to let it go, dude. He's gone.
You do have to let it go, but you can't pretend like he's not either.
But
it's not even. Listen, I don't think it's going to be the same team.
It was a dumb trade. There's no question. They should have, and they should have done everything they could to keep him. I wouldn't have given him that much money, but they should have done that. They didn't, and he's not here. And it's one of those things. I don't think you can just say, oh well, he's not going to be there. We know he's not going to be there. Doesn't mean that their offense isn't going to be effective enough. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Randall Cobb's going to be in this offense. I don't know what Brandon Cooks is going to be in this offense. I do know what Will Fuller's going to be. He'll have one game where he plays great and gets like 200 yards, and then he sits out the other 15 with soft tissue. But I'm curious to see what they look like, because I don't know. I haven't had a chance. I wasn't part of the Tier 1 group that got to go out there and watch practice. And I'm not bitter over that either. I just, you know, I wouldn't have gone out there because I'm not really trying to be around people right now, but You know, that's those are all the things that I'm looking forward to seeing.
I will say this, and this, you tell me if this is what you think is a bigger advantage, because when you consider it, the Texans did make changes on their really on both sides of the ball, and with no preseason, the Chiefs, they don't necessarily know what to prepare for. It's not like they're preparing for the same game that they played,
right?
You know, a couple months ago. Whereas, I mean, do you think that's an advantage, or do you think the Chiefs knowing exactly what their skills are and what their positives are, and they're experienced and they're going to keep doing it? Which would you prefer?
If there's an advantage, I think it would be with the Texans' offense, because they don't know what it's going to look like with these guys. It might be. It could very well be a lot worse without DeAndre Hopkins, but that's still an unknown. I mean, none of us know what you're going to get out of David Johnson. We think he's still a pig, but maybe he's back in shape and behind a better offensive line than he's seen. Maybe you get more out of him. And I think those are where the question marks are. There's not really anything different on defense. It's the same group for the most part. So I think the Chiefs will know how to attack him. The Texans have only been able to cover a tight end for half of a season in their entire existence, and that was when they had Gibson in there last year. They did pretty good jobs on tight ends. So I'm pretty sure Travis Kelce's going to have a big day. I'm really curious to see how much you get out of your rookie running back if you're the Chiefs, because I think that guy was a terrific addition.
Yeah, and you know, considering they ran with, and not to bash Damian Williams, he did a good enough job when they lost Hunt for the season, but I think you've upgraded there certainly.
Yeah,
and he's a versatile guy. He's a nice little weapon out of the backfield. Yeah,
I love that draft pick when they got him, and yeah, I don't want to make it sound like I don't think the Chiefs are going to win. I'm probably going to inside of 10. I'm probably betting the Chiefs. But I do think there are a lot of unknowns with the Texans. They could surprise us with some things. That's what I'm hoping for. But midway through the second quarter, like Space Ghost says, like running inside the tackles on every first down. Yeah, when the Texans come out and...
Are they not going to do that again?
If they do that, if they basically get themselves in second and 11 every time because of it, if they run the screen pass on third and 16... If Bill O'Brien tries to go for it in a weird situation in his own territory on fourth down with a fake punt, then yeah, I'll be like, you know what, screw it, season's over. Quick break, it's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about TGS Insurance, one of the fastest growing agencies in the entire state of Texas. And why are they growing so quickly, so rapidly, you might ask? Well, I'll tell you why, because they're actually saving you money and they make it super easy. If you own your home and you have a smart telephone device, please text the word money to 232323. They've already shopped the home insurance prices for every home in our area. They know what you can be saving. It's time for you to put that money in your pocket. Grab your phone now. Text the word money to 232323. The system's going to ask for your address. Send it back. Full quote and proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company, the savings, they're legit. They've got a nearly perfect online rating, over 1,000 reviews, and the average customer saving nearly $900 a year. And you don't need to wait for your renewal, because they're going to take care of the back end. They're going to get you refunded on your old policy and start you saving money now. They're open right now. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with TGS Insurance.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-9797. 3776. So, some potentially good news if you're a Broncos fan. Von Miller is going to be out for a while, and I'm sure glad I got that at Pick'em. But he may not be out for the season after all, which would be good news. So, hopefully that's the case. Got anything to say about your Rockets last night?
A little bit disheartening effort. I think what you learned last night, is, and let's also remember the Rockets didn't shoot poorly again last night. They actually shot pretty well. I think they were 40% from three. I can look that up on the internet, but it felt like they shot well enough to win, and they didn't, because the truth of it is they're just not as good as the Lakers.
Well, and we talked about this before the series. They were probably going to have a game where they played pretty well and didn't win.
And that's what we saw. We've actually seen two of them.
Yeah.
I think it happened both games. They played pretty well, and they're just overmatched. And it's 40% from three. They only turned the ball over 10 times. Those are like, if I told you that recipe, you'd say, "Oh yeah." But the truth of it is, and I don't know. If I say this, it's going to sound like I'm just trying to troll Rockets fans.
Oh, go ahead, troll them.
But it feels like the Lakers have the best and the second best player in this series. And not that, you know, I'm not saying that James Harden is not as good as Anthony Davis in the regular season, but in this particular series, the way these two teams match up, LeBron and Anthony Davis are more impactful than James Harden or Russ Westbrook. And those two guys, and we haven't even really seen, you know, a third. I mean, Rondo's been good, but we haven't seen a third guy like really step up and say, you know what, I'm the third guy here. It's been those two guys literally dominating. You know, Rondo hit a bunch of wide open shots yesterday. It was very Dortish in Game 7 when the Rockets just said, you know what, if you want to shoot, we're going to let you shoot. And it's not a horrible idea to do that. But it's really LeBron and Anthony Davis. There's just not an answer defensively for those two guys. And we knew that size would be a problem. Size is a problem.
And it's not just with them.
It's with Morris. It's with Kuzma. These are guys that they're having a hard time slowing down because they don't have the bodies to do it. And the smartest thing the Lakers did was get big, slow JaVale McGee off the court and not play big, slow Dwight Howard. They're matching their you know, they don't match their speed, but they're close to matching their athleticism, and they've just got so much more size.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem for the Rockets and why they kind of wore down in the fourth quarter is that size will wear you out.
Well, it also wears them down that they only play six people.
Right. That's not true. They wound up playing eight, but
they had some garbage minutes for Rivers and
Rivers and McLemore played 10 and 11 specifically. But
yeah, and did what?
You know what? They combined for the same amount of points that you and I combined
okay.
for.
Well, that's so, pretty. And I don't think we're far behind if you had PJ Tucker
what?
In.
We have a higher shooting percentage than they do.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
There is that. But I think. Part of the problem here, and the Lakers, I think, figured this out early. Everybody's like, "Oh, how are the Rockets going to match up with McGee and Howard and all that?" Well, Anthony Davis can play better in the middle than anything the Rockets have, and he could, and that inside with him, there's just nothing that the Rockets can do to even slow that down, and that's why I think what you're saying is true, that they've got the best and the second best player. I think if the Rockets had any kind of answer for Davis, you're not going to stop him, but to slow him down, like somebody who's capable of doing that, that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah.
And in this particular matchup, I think what you said is true, even though it did sound like you were trying to troll Rockets fan, which is fine, troll away. But I think it's true because of the Rockets don't have anything that matches that.
Well, and even the small guys, the quote-unquote small guys on the Lakers, like Danny Green's 6'5", 6'6". Caldwell Pope is 6'5" or 6'6". Like, and their point guard is
that
basically,
would be center for the Rockets,
right? They're basically LeBron James is their point guard. I mean, there's just it's very difficult to match up when there's a 6'9" point guard and your tallest guy is 6'5". And by the way, listen, I love PJ Tucker. He was a zero last night.
Yeah.
And I get that he, you know, he was limping around a little bit, and I think he's tired. And you knew he was going to get tired because you're asking him to do something that's just really not fair.
And I thought you might be able to get away with it in this bubble scenario, but over a full season, it was clear he was already starting to wear down a little bit before all this happened. But yeah, it's asking too much to do that every night,
and James,
especially against this level of talent. Now you can get by with that when you're playing crap ass teams every right. night too. But you get to this level where you're playing the best team in the conference, you're asking a lot.
You are, and you're saying, hey, go down there and stop Anthony Davis, who's and here's the other thing I like about what Anthony Davis is doing. I told you in the first series, the Portland series, what my problem with Anthony Davis was and why I thought that he needed to change something before they played the Rockets, and he has.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis took 0 3-point attempts last night. You know why? He didn't need to.
Yep.
He went inside, and he had his way. And that's what he should be – I mean, in this series, that's all he should be doing. Because what he does in these other series is try to – and I guess kind of what he was doing in the Portland series was he was trying to draw the bigs out and open up the lane for LeBron James and for Kyle Kuzma to a lesser extent. And he doesn't have to do that here.
Right.
And they tried facing him up last night. Didn't work. I mean, they don't have a solution for Anthony Davis if Anthony Davis plays like a big man.
Right. Which is what we were saying before the series.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've always said this about him. If he plays like that all the time, the guy's on another level.
And I don't know that every series is interchangeable.
Right.
But against this team, who has no semblance of size, it's almost...
It's like when you're playing basketball with your kids. There's no reason for you to ever go more than 2 feet from the basket.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like if there were a bunch of 12-year-olds playing basketball, and then I showed up on the court, and I'm 6'3". Like, am I going to be out there chucking threes?
Well, I would, but that's me.
Like, what's the point? If the next tallest guy is 6 inches shorter than me, I'm just going to stand under the basket. And no, I'm not going to, like, throw it down, alley-oops and stuff like that, like Anthony Davis is doing. But I'm just going to stand there and have my way. And Anthony Davis is realizing, oh, I remember, this is something I can do. And I know that he, like, everybody tells, oh, well, he used to be a point guard, and he had this big growth. I don't care about that.
What was that, 10 years ago now? That's
you're not a point guard, bro. You are a giant man who's a fantastic rebounder and a fantastic finisher. Just do that. Okay? That's all we need. You got a point guard. His name's the best player in the whole world. Like, defer to him to be that, and you just be the guy that dunks the ball. And they figured it out. Poo-poo his game because he had a couple plays like where he had the mid-range jumper where he did like a jab step and they bit and he just cleared out and hit a jumper. He's got the game to do it, but for the most part last night he went down low and just dominated the Rockets. And if this is the thing, there's really no adjustment for the Rockets to make to that.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much thrown everybody you could possibly put on him.
Yeah,
and it hasn't worked. So
What are you going to do, bring Tyson Chandler off the bench? I don't believe that's going to happen, and I don't believe it would work if you did.
Yeah, because who knows what that even does to your offense. I think offensively they found what they need to be competitive, but they've got to make some adjustments somehow defensively. And I still think they're going to have one of those games where they put up a ton of threes and they hit a ton of threes, and they'll probably win, but I'll still – stick to my Lakers in six prediction.
I will say this. One thing that's a positive for the Rockets is there's been a lot of inconsistency on who's going to be the third guy on this team. And Eric Gordon's had some good night. And last night they were like, the Rockets may have found a big three with Eric Gordon. And then Eric Gordon laid a complete egg and just sucked last night. Jeff Green has been so much better than anybody wants to talk about.
Oh God, yeah.
And he's not gonna be great consistently, but man, in these playoffs, he's been a pretty key dude. And that's a guy that, I mean, it's not like I can say, oh, they should give him more minutes because I think he's already playing close to 40 as it is, like everybody else.
Yeah, 35 last night.
Yeah, so yeah, maybe they don't give him more minutes, but that's a guy who, when he's been on the floor, I've seen some positive things. And I'll be honest, I know everybody was making a big deal about Covington going out last night and how big it was. Covington stunk it up last night too. And you can look at his shooting numbers and he wasn't awful, but he had nothing on defense. He was getting worked, and I don't think that him getting hurt was like some sort of nail in the coffin for the Rockets. He wasn't very good last night either.
No, and you know, they're going to have,
and he may have just faked an injury to get off the court for a little while.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
maybe they should all do that.
But if Green can keep playing like he's playing, realistically, for them to win a game, I mean, I think Harden and Westbrook, you're going to get, you know, you're going to get good production out of, but you need Gordon or Covington or Tucker. One of those other guys has got to contribute a lot more. And, you know, I think, I think that'll happen one game in this series. But, you know, I don't know that it's going to happen enough for it to be as competitive a series as I think Rockets fans would hope it would be. So, all right, guys, I have to tell you about Harry's Razors. And it was pretty cool because a couple of, about a month ago, I went into a Walgreens and there were some Harry's Razors. I'm like, oh, man, I got to get new razors. And I bought them. And then Harry says, hey, we're coming back. I want you to tell the people about Harry's. And I'm like, hey, I never quit Harry's. I love Harry's. And they've got new sharper blades that are as low as $2 each. Since I've switched to Harry's, I've not used another razor. And everybody increases their prices when they introduce something new. Not Harry's. They got their sharpest shave ever, and they aren't raising prices. You can find Harry's new sharper blades in big box drug and grocery stores near you. If you like to shop online, which I do, you can get a trial set for just $3 when you use code KFNC at checkout on harrys.com. And you're going to get Harry's sharpest blades ever, and they will last a long time. And if you like, new customers are going to get $5 off a Harry's trial set with code KFNC at harrys.com. Includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Don't forget to use code KFNC at checkout and give Harry's sharper blades a try.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have 3-layer nano silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A couple people were asking what's up with Daniel House. We don't really know. He was just said he was going to miss last night's game for, quote, personal reasons. D'Antoni did say it wasn't COVID-19 related, but that doesn't mean he didn't, like, bubble violate or something.
Yeah.
Technically, because then that would be a bubble problem and not a COVID-19 problem.
That would be.
So, yeah. A bunch of people asked, are we going to talk much fantasy football? I think we kind of decided last year, that's a hard thing to... It makes great radio for the one person who gets their lineup done. For everybody else, it's kind of...
I think we kind of moved on from that. And you know what? I'll say this. If you want fantasy football info, go listen to Moneyline on Sunday before the games. They're on at 10 o'clock on Sundays. Or I think Josh Jordan puts up stuff at SportsMap.
There's a bunch of stuff on SportsMap that Josh does.
But Josh does. Josh and Jerry both pay attention to like daily fantasy and stuff like that, and they're on top of things.
Yeah, follow Jerry on Twitter. He'll put his fantasy plays, daily fantasy stuff on there, too.
I truthfully don't play as much fantasy as I used to. The league that I've done for years and years, you noticed I did not renew it this year. It's just it seems like it almost seems silly to do to put too much into fantasy this year. I'm playing in two leagues. One league is my buddy's league from New Mexico that he asked me to play in. That's like a $25 entry league. And then I'm playing in it used to be a $200 league. And they were like, let's make it $100 this year. And let's add these COVID injured list spots.
Yeah,
because nobody wants to make a big investment and then have some ridiculous nonsense. It's one thing to have an injury take you out.
Right.
But if, like,
you learn to live with that.
This team can't play this week. Dude, well, I mean, if it's anything like baseball, we're going to have a situation like that.
Yeah.
And that's it's you don't want to invest a bunch of money in it. To me, if I do any, it'll probably be daily fantasy this year.
Yeah, I want to wait. It's just like with my betting. I'm going to wait a couple weeks probably before I really start investing, just because I don't know who's going to be prepared and who's not. But for fantasy purposes, I'm in one league and with Nate Griffin and Patrick Creighton and some guys that I was in with last year, finished second, of course. That's it. That's the only one I'm doing this year. So, and it's not for a bunch of money. It's like, I think it was like $75. So, you know, but yeah, as far as on radio though, it just doesn't make, it really is hard to make it interesting to people beyond who do I start? And that's always the worst question because everybody does rankings, which pretty much tells you who you should start based on the rankings. So, to answer your question, I guess no. We will not be doing much fantasy football. Not that I don't mind answering questions about it. If especially like on Twitch during the breaks or something. If you have fantasy questions, that's cool.
I can give my thoughts.
Yeah, but I do recommend Jerry and Josh on that stuff. And if you don't get to listen to the show, you can always podcast it. By then, most of the games have started. So,
yeah. Thoughts on the first and second team all defensive teams that the NBA announced. Did you have any, like, there's a lot of people saying PJ Tucker should have been on the list, which I think PJ Tucker does really well for what he's asked to do, which he's asked to do more than any normal dude should be asked to do. But is he a better defensive center than Rudy Gobert? Is he a better defensive center than Brooke Lopez? The answer is pretty simply no.
No.
It is nice what he's able to do in that spot, but I don't think there's a snub in any way. And even as a forward, are you going to put him in over Kawhi? No. So I didn't think that there was a big snub there. Giannis wins Defensive Player of the Year. He's probably going to win MVP, even though I disagree with that. And also failed to mention Giannis also, I think has left the bubble. And I don't know. I don't think he's going to be welcome back in.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, I think what was interesting to me was that the Bucks are talking about making a play for Chris Paul. It's like, great. Add another guy who has a history of playoff failures to your team. That worked out pretty well for the Rockets. I'm sure it'll work out for you, Bucks.
The Bucks are in a weird spot because they're like desperately trying to figure out a way to keep Giannis long term. But I don't know if Giannis is, and I've said this before about James Harden, if Giannis is your best player, I don't know if that team is going to win a championship because I don't think
that's fair.
I think that they need and I don't know that Chris Paul is that guy, but I think they need a dominant guard. And Eric Bledsoe's good. I think they need a dominant scorer in the backcourt to really make the Bucks great.
I wonder if they're not going to be able to keep him, what kind of haul you could get for that dude. I know the Warriors would love to have him.
I know the Raptors would love to have him.
But the Warriors would make a lot of sense because he wouldn't have to be the best player on that team.
Nope.
And he wouldn't have to carry him, and he would be a good fit.
The problem with him there is the Warriors like to have everybody on the court be able to shoot the ball. And quite frankly, Giannis can't shoot the ball. So, like, when they're at their best, when they're in that ball, the ball's moving all over the place, it doesn't matter where it stops. Somebody can pop.
Right.
And Giannis can't do it.
But I think they're pretty good at adjusting to what they have there,
yeah,
too.
And when you have, if assuming Steph and Klay come back at 100%, you still have the two best shooters in the league. And you have a guy who's willing to do all the dirty work and Draymond, maybe Giannis can flourish. I'm curious what the Warriors' plans are. I mean, they've got the second pick in the draft.
Right.
I mean, I would guess if they're getting Giannis, it would include that.
Yeah.
It would. I don't know if this is what they want, but I mean, I'm guessing it would probably include Andrew Wiggins too, and the Bucks would just have to hope that Andrew Wiggins turns into what Andrew Wiggins was supposed to be.
Can we all agree that that's never going to happen at this stage, that he's never going to be what he was supposed to be.
Well,
which was, he was in the same sentence with LeBron coming out of high school.
Now, here's what I will say about Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins thrown in the middle of that Warriors lineup, he may find some success. When there's zero pressure on him, maybe he will have some success. But you're right. He's never going to be LeBron James like people thought he was going to be.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know that. But if you're the Bucks, obviously you're hanging on to the guy as long as you can. So I don't know. You know, I don't know what their plan is. But if he comes out and says, "Look, I'm gone," and he hasn't said that now. He said he wants to be with the Bucks. But how many times have we heard that? And you know, I don't trust anybody from Greece. Sorry, Greek people.
Whoa.
Just kidding. But God,
Andrew Wiggins was 21.8 points per game last year?
I knew he had a pretty good season. I mean, scoring wise. But he's also on the floor a lot because everybody else.
Yeah, they didn't have anybody else.
Yeah. Somebody had to score points there. But yeah,
I'm curious what they'll look like. Well, and if they ever play together, if he's ever out there with their big three, I wonder what that'll look like. But, you know, who knows what they're going to do. That's a team that is going to be – they've got a lot of flexibility because they've got that second pick.
Yeah.
You know, they've got – I mean, hell, Kevin Durant was willing to go there and not be the richest man in the entire world. And it's – but now that they're paying Clay a little more – I don't know what kind of decisions have to be made.
Well, and that's the thing. Maybe that's why they keep that draft pick and hopefully get somebody that they can add to the rotation. But it's so funny how they're out of sight, out of mind with everybody right now because, well, you know, they didn't make it. Everybody was hurt.
Well, that's what people need to realize when we're talking about, you know, the Rockets and their window. The Rockets were the 4 seed this year. You would assume that they get bumped back a notch because I would bet that the Warriors end up being better than the Rockets next year.
Yeah,
regular season.
I don't think there's going to be. It's hard to say just how good they'll be, but I mean, I think they're going to be a top 4 team next year, unless nobody comes back anywhere near what they were.
Yeah,
which is not impossible, but yeah, it's also. I mean, that's another one of those organizations that you know is going to do a good job with whatever they do with that pick. And that being the case, you know, they're going to get themselves another player. I'll say this, and I will be willing to bet a small child on this, that if whoever the Warriors take at number 2, if the Timberwolves stay 1, that player will be a better player than whoever the Wolves get.
I don't necessarily disagree. And I think that... my guess is now, if I were a wagering man, that the Wolves would take LaMelo Ball at 1, assuming they stay at number 1. I think they would take LaMelo Ball, and the Warriors would probably get Anthony Edwards, who would be, as if they needed it, would basically be instant offense. And, you know, they'd be fine with that, and he probably would have success, especially being on the floor with it. I don't know if they would all three be on the floor at once.
I'm sure he'd get some time with them, though.
Yeah, and he'd certainly be on the floor with one of them at almost all times.
All right, guys, let's talk about saving money. And maybe you ran those credit cards up a little bit during the Rona. Well, guess what? Lightstream is here to help with a credit card consolidation loan. And if you've got good credit, man, they're going to take care of you. Lightstream's fixed-rate credit card consolidation loans start at 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. And that's lower than the average credit card interest rate, which is about 19% higher in some places. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. It's all online, 100%. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. They really believe that if you've got good credit, you deserve a great interest rate and no fees, and that's exactly what they deliver. Right now, Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information. You need a taste of your own medicine.
Cause I'm sick.
This is The Blitz.
The Blitz.
On ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And wildfires are getting really bad across the entire West Coast now, man. Jeez.
My wife, she gets pictures from... So normally she where she's from is in like on the other side of the mountain is what she calls it. It's in the
it's like Bend, right?
Yeah. It's on the other side of the mountain from basically where everyone else in Oregon lives. And normally the wildfires start on the mountain and come down. This is all happening on the other side of the mountain, but she's getting pictures from all the people there, and it's so crazy looking, and you all the Instagram pictures go look at Oregon wildfire pictures on Instagram, and they'll all say the same thing, no filter, and they're all like orange and purple, like the entire sky changes colors when this happens. And it's unfortunately it's really awesome looking.
Yeah, it makes it great. Well, that's the thing when they
it
had
just
the,
sucks if you live in the fire.
Yeah, when they had the wildfires in BC. I mean, the pictures were amazing, and you feel bad for saying, wow, amazing photos, because people are getting are losing everything. But, yeah, it does make for great photos. But, I mean, we don't need that right now. And by the way, you know what we did need? We needed our little cold front that was supposed to come through. How'd that work out for us?
Well, looks like I am a weather expert.
I think you need to start your weather streak now.
Yeah.
But,
one for one. I said it's not going to be 55 degrees in Houston this week. Guess what? It's not going to be 55 degrees in Houston. It will be like negative 20 in our office.
Yeah, well, and it's not going to be 65 degrees either, or even 75, because the cold front stalled. And I saw Eric Berger tweeted that out Monday. It's like, bad news, the cold front's going to stall. I'm like, mother bleeper. So whoever it was, weather guy, who tweeted that out last week with the low of 58, I don't want to wish evil on you or anything.
Shame.
But we will give you a shame bell. Because I was getting so excited about that.
Hey, I've got a story that I wanted to get to.
Yeah?
Yeah, we got time. About teacher-student sex. And this is lady teacher, male student, 15-year-old student.
Is this the one who told him that his thing was bigger than her husband's?
Yes.
I was going to get to that.
Is there anything worse than that? If you're married to a teacher who bangs a high school kid, and the high school kid says, like, to the courts and to the newspaper that, oh, yeah, she said I had a bigger penis than her husband did, so that's why she liked me.
Boy, and if you're a 15-year-old, aren't you just thrilled to death to go into court and say that?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, be honest. You're gonna go in there and like, yeah, she said I had a bigger penis.
Yeah. She's always denied the alleged liaisons that happened in a field and in her vehicle in late 2018. And the student confessed. He denied it initially because he thought he got her pregnant.
Oh.
So he was like, nope, didn't happen.
That wasn't me.
And then they were like, well, what about these topless Snapchat photos that she sent to you? And they started getting spread around the school, apparently. And he was like, okay, it happened. And she denied it. But then investigators found a series of seemingly incriminating Google searches, including alibi and lie about where you have been. Well, she also sent the boy.
Who Googles that? You can't figure that out for yourself, guys.
She also sent the boy a message after her principal confronted her about the Snapchat pictures, telling him, promise me you will delete everything. Don't want to get in any trouble.
Mate.
She said she was going through a bad patch with her husband after losing a baby.
Go find it.
And she said that their phone calls, they talked on the phone. Which is odd for a 15-year-old. You would think, like, she's 35. Even 35-year-old women don't talk on the phone, do they? It's all texts.
Yeah, yeah.
But they would talk on the phone it often lasted 40 minutes. They were merely out of concern for the boy's well-being, is what she said. And she says, I know it was the wrong thing to do, but I had good intentions in doing it about the calls. She's still denying all the sex, but it seems like she's not in a good position.
I mean, so, you've said it yourself. Unless they have actual video evidence, deny
till you die. Exactly. That's what she's trying. But boy, they keep popping up this evidence. Like, not good.
I mean, the topless photos and stuff look bad, but you can't prove that I actually fornicated with a minor.
Yeah, she says her phone was hacked.
There you go. That's good. Good defense. Yeah. Good defense.
And I can't.
And all you got to do is say, hey, look, here's Hope Solo over here. Her phone was hacked too.
And normally we would tell you, even though it's, if this is indeed true, she's a dirty, dirty criminal. But normally we would tell you at this point of the story if she's hot or not. But you can't tell because she had to wear a mask to court.
Well, I have to. I'm pretty good at judging with a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I there's maskless rankings and there's mask rankings. Like Lena Hidalgo, mask 10. Regular, I don't care because, you know, now that I've seen the mask. I'm going to say this one is a mask 4.
Oh, a mask 4?
Yeah. Yeah, because the mask actually kind of gives the impression that she has one of those dolphin necks, you know, with like no chin.
Yeah.
And so you're speculating here. And then she's got the really high forehead and she looks like she doesn't wear makeup. So she's probably a maskless 6, but mask 4.
Okay.
And the fact that she's 35 and it goes fishing for 15-year-old boys is also going to take her rating down just a bit.
Oh, I found a picture of her with with no mask.
Am I right about a maskless 6? Does she have the dolphin chin?
No, well, I mean,
She's about a 4.
She's about
a 4 and a half with a mask.
Yeah, she ain't great.
No.
I mean, she's not a pig.
No, I mean, I would.
Like, if you're 15, you say, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, if you're 15, come on.
But, oh, they show her husband. They put her husband in the article.
Oh, no. What's he look like?
He looks like that. He's got like.
They look like they're on the same level, basically. So, and this is an England,
he looks like
right?
The kind of guy who would be really angry if you said he had a small penis.
Well, he does look like, but he also looks like a guy who probably is compensating in a few other areas there. So, this is in England, right?
Yes.
See, that's the other thing. In England, she's like an 8. Because those English, especially when we were in London, and we were sort of in the Wall Street area, so it's like all the, you know, the hoity-toities. But, like, everybody that was going out to dinner, there'd be like 8 guys and they're all like look like soccer stars, right? They're all just like really good looking dudes. And there was one girl who was about a 5 or 6 with them. And she's just like, gets her pick, right? Because she's the only one there. And there was a lot of that going on. I think she's one of those. So she could probably do better than the other guy.
So here's some of her excuses. Barbara had searched, what is the name of someone you are having an affair with? And the word alibi before Googling 20 seconds later, when you have a plan of where you have been. The next day, the defendant searched a lie of where you have been before looking up good secluded areas and Holiday Inn Wycombe. In the witness box, she said, I was up at 5 a.m. as my mom and I were going to set up a car boot sale. What the hell's a car boot sale?
Trunk sale.
Yeah.
The boot is the trunk of the car over there.
Oh, okay.
You got to watch more British television.
My bad. On the way there was a name of a film that was bugging me, so I Googled those words. We were trying to remember the film name. I thought the name had something to do with adultery, but it turned out to be the film Fatal Attraction. She added that she Googled the hotel for her son's father to stay in while he visited, and good secluded areas was in relation to wanting to take her lab for a walk off the leash as he absolutely loves lakes.
I got to admire her excuses, but what are you doing on the internet searching for these things, guys? You should be able. And now let's be perfectly honest. In today's world, it's impossible to get away with an affair.
Yeah,
it really is. And they got CCTV everywhere. They can catch you on television. You got Find My iPhone. I mean, there's just no way to get away with it. So just public service announcement. especially if you're going to bet. Well, first off, don't bang anybody who's underage, whether they want to or not.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's a fail, and that's why we have to have non-pedo Texans coverage and non-pedo COVID coverage on this show, because there's other people out there that don't follow those rules. But other than that, if you're going to have an affair, just maybe just get rid of the one you got and start over, because I don't know how anybody would get away with it anymore. Just don't see it. All righty. Well, we were talking about this a little earlier when we were going over the MyBookie lines yesterday, and that that Broncos-Titans game was a pick'em, and then the Von Miller news came out, and guess who got a little bet in on the Titans right before they took it off the board, which I think it's back now, and it's a...
3.5 swing or something like that.
Yeah, it's been a big swing. But guess what?
Maybe overreactionary swing.
Yeah, it might be worth coming back the other way here. But the cool thing is, you got all this. If you want to get in on tomorrow night's game, you think the Chiefs are going to stomp a hole in the Texans again? 9.5, 9 points, bouncing back and forth. And that's the great thing about MyBookie. It's got all that. It's got NHL. You want to play that. If you're a Stars fan, you want to get in on the Stars to bounce back, you can do that. You want to get in on the Rockets to bounce back, you can do that. It's all on MyBookie. And when you win, they pay. That's the best part about it, man, is quick payouts, easy deposits and withdrawals, and there's just lots of options for you. If you join today, they're going to match your first deposit 100%. Just enter promo code RADIO when you sign up. That's promo code RADIO. MyBookie.ag. You bet, you win, they pay. Promo code RADIO.
To ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.